part about Christmas is waking up when my grandparents come over and we eat breakfast and we open our stockings and open our presents.
My favorite part is celebrating the birth of Christ with my family, with my friends, with my church family, just the gathering together and celebrating together.
Celebrating with my family.
Being with my mother.
I really like seeing people happy and like having smiles on their face, and I really like opening presents with other people and spending time with my family.
Lights. I love the lights. I love the fact that it's so peaceful. Everybody loves one another. Things that, that bother people most throughout the rest of the year, everybody just lets it go. So it's the lights. It's the joy that people feel. It's just a great spirit.
My favorite part about Christmas is when my family comes over, and I love to decorate with my mom, and I love spending time with my pets.
Spending it with my family and also getting to spend it with my husband.
It's about love, about Jesus. It's about how God so loved the world that he sent his only son to save us. And just if you think about how Christmas is, it's the spirit of Christmas, which is God. I mean, as I said before, things just absolutely slow down. People give gifts. People are nice to you, no matter how nice to you throughout the year. So that's Christmas. Christmas is love.
It's all about like being happy and celebrating Jesus' birthday.
Jesus' birthday.
Christmas is all about love. Love, joy, peace, the birth of our Savior. Behold him. That's what we are declaring this month. So to me, that's what it's all about, is him.
Well, obviously about Jesus' birth and his coming to the earth, and just feel like it's a time of faith being restored from the previous year and excitement for the year to come.
What she said.
About Christmas and the three stars and angel.
Christmas is about Jesus' birthday and giving to others who have gave you stuff, and enjoying what you have because some other people don't have it.
Christmas is about celebrating Jesus' birthday and having a smile on your face.
Christmas is all about it's receiving what God has given you, and out of that comes this heart of giving. I really believe that. I believe there's something about this season that's so powerful and so awesome, where that just the whole celebration of the birth of Christ brings a heart of wanting to give and to bless one another and to bless our family members and see the joy and the smile upon her face. And that's from the heart of God. I believe it's God's gift to, even to the world, even to people that don't know him. They celebrate Christmas and the celebration of this time, and it's centered around Jesus.
Well, we like celebrate his birthday by like getting gifts and being really happy and like singing and enjoying family.
And Jesus, dolls. Yeah, baby.
So we celebrate by going through the nativity with our children and just trying to bring it back to what the season is really about. And this year, trying to make new memories in 2020, in this year of chaos, we are going to make a birthday cake for Jesus.
Yes, and we have a book about the donkey, which the donkey that leads up to the 9 days of Christmas, and we're including the nativity in that, and having the girls guess what piece the story is about, and then explaining how that relates to the nativity.
Yeah, so we try to do that type of stuff to bring in Jesus and celebrate him.
We go to church and we do communion. And we hold candles, and we say, Holy Night.
How do I celebrate him? Every day. Christmas is every day. Christmas is who he is, and if he's living inside of us, he's a part of us every day, 365 days a year. Amen. And I celebrate him every day. Christmas is just maybe one day we reflect on the birth of Christ, but Christmas should be in our hearts every year, every moment of every day, all throughout the year.
We make a little birthday cake for him, and we all gather and sing happy birthday, and we just love on each other and enjoy each other.
We give gifts to each other so that it's so God's happy in heaven and Jesus is happy in heaven, that we're giving to other people.
I celebrate Jesus by coming here and having our candlelight service and taking communion. And at my own house on Christmas Day, I give and receive presents, and I spend time with my family and just give love like Jesus would want us to.
I remember the way that he lived and was born for us, and the way that he died for us.
Thank you. God is amazing. Amen. Can you say glorious? Glorious. Hallelujah.
Good evening, everyone. We welcome you. Can you believe we are here? Christmas.
Yes. In church together.
And I just want to say that this is a testimony of this year that we are still here to celebrate
Amen.
Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And that you're still here with us. And I know there are many of you online that are yes. listening.
God
we welcome you.
Yeah.
And
Amen.
Merry Christmas. We want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. And may you hold dear everything that is close to you and not take it for granted. I think
granted.
We've been through this year that we can't take one little thing for granted. One little thing. And if anything that I can say tonight is behold Him. Get close to Him in this coming year. Don't wait to a week or two just tonight.
Right now.
Get close to Him.
Yeah.
We welcome you tonight. We pray that you are blessed. That God just overshadows you with His peace, His love, His joy. And it spills off from you into your family, into the new year, into your jobs, your marriages, your children. Amen. And we just want to say we love you. Thank you for your support, your yep. love, your encouragement, your participation here. Just thank you. Thank you. We couldn't do what we do without the love of all of you. And we just want to pour out our hearts and say Merry Christmas to all of you.
Merry Christmas. Amen. Yes, definitely. Don't forget, we are all everybody on Facebook. We're glad to have you tonight. Pray that you enjoy this. Have you Merry Christmas. But I just want to say right here that I really feel that we entered into December with something declaring, behold Him. Amen. Behold the Savior. And I really feel that every one of us that right here tonight, just behold Him.
Yeah.
Behold what He presents to you. Mm-hmm. And it is a gift of life. Come on, it's a gift of eternity. It's a gift of redeeming of our sins and of things of the past that He presents to us. Amen? That He's given to us. That gift is giving today, right here, right now. So don't leave this place tonight. Don't leave where you are without making that moment to declare Him as your Savior. I pray that tonight as we begin to present to you the Savior. Amen. That you take hold of it. I pray that your heart is moved. I pray that your spirit is quickened. That you can be rise up into the new year, beholding Him as your Savior.
Yes.
Not just once, but every single day. That God wants to continue to save you through things. I need saved in every day. Every moment of my life, I need saved. I need set free. I need salvation. And He wants that you to take hold of that, not just once a year, but every single day. Hallelujah. It'll change the rest of your life. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you here tonight to offer you, God, Lord, just a blessing to God, Lord, to declare your name of who you are. You've given us a message of joy and peace, God. So tonight we come celebrating a Savior that gives us a testimony. Hallelujah. Gives us purpose and gives us life, God. We glorify your name, God, Lord, with all that we do. Holy Spirit, have your way here tonight. Move in the hearts, each and every one of us here. And God, Lord, we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. We do have offerings up front that you could drop an offering in if you're on your way out or whenever. Don't forget, you got your communion. I wanted to remind everybody that's at home, grab some communion, grab something that you participate with us in this communion tonight. Amen? God bless you. Come on, praise team. Would you stand with me?
Joyful and triumphant, oh.
God, we come before you tonight, beholding your majesty, beholding your greatness, God. Lord, the splendor of your love. God, Lord, the divine plan that you had before, God, Lord, you even created man. You had a plan. You had something in mind that you desired for every one of us to be part of. And you presented to us that we behold, that we behold, that we be still and know that you're God. God, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of chaos, if we would just stop and be still and know that you're God, that we would be in awe and wonder of your greatness and your majesty. We'd be still by your love and awe and wonder. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. We behold him, hallelujah. We behold him, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible was... I'm here to tell you that this is more than just a baby in a manger. Tell someone it's bigger than that. I hope tonight that I can share with you a few things, a few stories that you might know, some things that we could take hold of, that the Word of God, I want you to know that it's a tapestry that is so woven together of God's love for you, that we look at the Word of God and it's more than just words. It's an understanding that you can grip and take hold of God's love that's presented to you, that He shares with you to take hold of. Amen. God desires for us to know Him and all that He is and the fullness and His greatness and His majesty. And so many times we get caught up in so many things, but and we miss out on the bigger picture. Say bigger picture. So tonight I want to share something with you. I want to share a few things that were just jumped out of my heart. And one of those things was, I was on my way here and I began to think of, we know about this girl named Mary that she received, say received. She received this message of the gospel where that she was spoken a word to her that if she believed that she would conceive, that she would take hold of through the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the Most High. Amen. That she would receive the Savior. His name would be Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. It was so powerful, but it would be through a young girl that believed. The other thing that I just was gripped with was, and I'm going to share with you tonight, was a message that they took hold of and they beheld. The message that was given to them, to us. I'm going to get into that for a moment. But the other one was this, it was a message of the kings as they brought gifts. And every one of these, I believe, is so important that we need to receive the word from God. We need to behold it. We need to take hold of it into our lives. And then we need to give who we are to God. See, it's not just about receiving what God has for us, but it's us giving God back who we are to Him. That we begin to enter into, I want you to know that we enter into life. We begin to enter in more than just getting through. Come on, just getting through. Say getting through. There's more to life than just getting through, that God wants you to experience something even greater. So there's this underlying story that God presented to us. There was more than just a baby in a manger. It was greater than that. It was spectacular. But at that moment, not everybody was aware of this great story that was being unraveled. But this story just didn't happen 2,000 years ago. This story began from the beginning of creation. It was already a plan. It wasn't a plan B. After man failed, it was plan A. It was God's plan from the beginning that he had desire, he had a heart that one day that he would present to us for years before that, from the moment of creation, that he would present himself to us in so many different ways that we can look all through the Old Testament and see that God was bringing us to a point that we'd be ready to receive a message that would change us forever. A message that wasn't hidden. It was hidden from those that didn't want to see it. But those that would behold would change their lives. The moment that you behold it, it changes everything. Say, changes everything. So let me share this with you in Luke. And this is one of my favorite parts of this. And one of the reasons is because I am a shepherd. Shepherds speak of pastors. But I want you to see something and know that this to take hold of in your life. You know, when I read the Word of God, I read it like he's talking to me because he wants to. That you apply this word in your life for today. It's not just a story that happened. It's a story that's happening. See, the word of God is alive. It's not dead. It's real. It's powerful. That if you open your heart to let it in, changes everything. So he declared something. He says, and there, this is in verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds. And they were abiding in the field. They were abiding. And they were watch over their flocks by night. I think that's powerful because how many of you guys think that sometimes we feel like you're in a night season? Feels like you're in a moment at this time that there was a Caesar presented a tax. How many of you love taxes? But there was something presented at that time and it was a taxing. Man, I feel like this year I've been taxed. There's a lot of things that are heavy things upon us. But see, they can relate because they were in a night season, but they were abiding. I'm here to tell you tonight that you need to behold the Word of God. You need to stay in a place of abiding and stay and watch for God. See, God's looking for people that desire to behold Him, that He can show Himself to, that are looking. The Bible says those who seek Him, find Him. He doesn't hide so that you can't be found. He hides sometimes. You feel like God's hiding so that you seek Him. When my daughter was young, we used to play hide and go seek, but I used to hide, not for her not to find me, but I hid so that she could find me, like hiding behind a skinny post and here's me blowing out the sides. But you see, I hid so that she could find me, that she would look for me. See, God desires you to look for Him, that He can be found. Sometimes it seems like there's so many things out there, but you look. When you look, you'll find God. So here they are. They're abiding in this place, and they're waiting for a word. They're looking for a word. Something was happening that we could take hold of this and look at it for our own lives. And he says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came. See, when you're looking, you'll find it. And so the angel came. He says, and the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. See, I want you to hear something and know that sometimes we're afraid of what we don't know. But you see, I want you to hear, sometimes you're afraid of things. You know why? Because it's what someone else might have said about God to you. That misrepresented who God was. But God wants you to know Him for who He is to you. And He said this, and He says, and the angel said unto them, fear not. I want you to hear something and know that God never comes. All through the Bible you can see this, that God never comes in the spirit of fear. But He comes in love. He comes with this message to declare. He says, and behold, say behold, for I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, not some people, to all people. No matter who you are, to all people, no matter what race, no matter what gender, no matter where you're at in your life, He came to all people with the same message. Of good news and of joy. He says, for unto you is born this day, the city of David, a Savior. This is plan A, which is Christ. He says, the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, say suddenly, there was with them angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God. And saying, glory to God in the highest, in the earth, peace and goodwill towards all men. I want you to know and realize something, that when the good word, the good news is presented, when you take this with the understanding in your mind that God loves you, that He spent everything that you could take hold of, that you can have life, He gave everything, that when you read this word, understanding, that is a message of good news. Say good news. He presents to you a message of good news, that the kingdom is at hand. Hallelujah. That God desires to bless you. God desires you to prosper. Amen. God desires you to be in health. And I'm going to share with you how that happens, how He did that for you. Amen. So this message presented, and I want you to get this and know that the angels join in when you begin to join in about what God says about you. When you begin to believe what God says about you, when you begin to believe that how much God loves you, you begin to sing the song of heaven. And it's a message of peace. It's not war. Do you know what the opposite of peace is? War. I want you to know that God sent His Son, that He would send peace into the earth. This is the message of a Savior. That you do not have to be at war with God, but you're at peace. You don't have to be at war with the enemy anymore, because he's been defeated. Say peace. And it says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away, it says the shepherds said one to another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing, which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known to us. Even before it came to pass, they said, let us go see this. See, that's faith. See, God wants, He's given us everything that we need, but we need to go. We need to behold Him. We need to take hold of it by faith, by believing what He did for us. And they came, and with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad, saying, which was told of them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at these things which were told of them by the shepherds. Wow. They were in awe and wonder of this message. Changes everything. But you see, this story begins. I want you to get this. I want you to take hold of this. As I try to bring this down to get you to take hold of this and understand that Matthew, the New Testament, the very first part of the New Testament begins to speak about something. I want you to get this and take hold of this. Because sometimes we think to ourselves, but you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what my ancestors, all the things, my genealogy, all the things that I've been through in my life, or all the things that are behind me. But the gospel declares a good news that changes everything, because it presents us with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. It tells us the story of His genealogy, of where He came from, of what He was born into. And we begin to look and see some of these stories, and you can look at that in Matthew and you can begin to lead. Sometimes we jump over these things because we think they don't mean anything. But tell your neighbor, everything means something in the Word of God. Everything. It's all about you. And he says, in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. This is the first thing. Listen, this is the front page of the good news. And it tells about this past that was in Jesus' history. This is his story. And I want you to know that this is filled with characters. People with past, soiled past. Things that would make others say, are you kidding me? I'm just going to read a few. But these are some of the stories that maybe I'm not going to tell right now at the Christmas time. You can read them for yourself. But these are some of the stories of Jacob, who was a thief and he was a liar. Tamar, read for yourself. David, he fell into temptation. And then it says that this man David, the king of Solomon, king begot Solomon, and the child that he had, he says, that had been the wife of Uriah. And I want you to know that you could fill in the picture to that, that Uriah was her husband, but he suddenly died. Rahab was a prostitute. Solomon was a polygamist, had 700 wives. God help him. Amen. He says, Ahaz did everything God said not to do. Everything God said not to do. Manasseh destroyed all God's words that he could find with fire. Everything. You know why? Because that word hit him so hard in his heart. Because of where he was, that it offended him. So he says, I got to get it out. I want you to know that sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we just try to run from God. I'm here to tell you, you can't run from God. You can't hide from God. I say this all the time and I say it reverently, but God's a stalker. There's places that God came to seek me, that I knew that he was after me, that I tell you what, I wouldn't take my wife. But that's the past. This is Jesus' broken family tree. How many of you have broken families? Have messy families? Messy family trees. So why did they present this to us? Why would it show? Why would he show this about all this checkered past that he came from? But he came without sin. It says, I wrote this down, it makes Jesus the perfect candidate to identify with our own sin, brokenness, and rebellion. He's the perfect candidate. God embedded, he desired to enter into the midst of your story. He's embedded into the DNA of man. That was the heart of God. That he would be the solution to all man's problems. To whatever you faced. Placed himself in the midst of darkness to be the light of the world. He embedded his story into my story. God entrusted to a young girl, his son, the gift of God. This young girl that God said, listen, I'm entrusting her into you. Are you kidding me? He said, but I want you to know that God believed that you would receive his love. That his love was so great that when you received it and when you heard of it, when you took hold of it in your life, there was nothing else in your life that was greater than that moment that you beheld him and took hold of him. Just like with Mary. And she believed it. And she says, let it be done unto me. That this young girl, to be the savior of the world, that she would raise him, that God entrusted to her to raise. See, that's why every time it says that she stopped and she just began to contemplate and began to take hold of those words into her heart. Because they were big. That she was raising the Son of God. See, that's trust. See, God believes in you more than you believe in yourself. But he believes in himself more than anything else. Because he knows his love that he has for you. Just as Mary was entrusted with this love to be received by faith in us, not only to save us from death, but to open us unto life with him through Christ. And to be in this relationship with him. Ephesians, it's my favorite scripture. Ephesians 3:16 says this, that we would walk in this relationship. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in his love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth and the height. And to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that you might be filled, overflowing with the fullness of God. The fullness of God. The fullness of life and salvation and redemption. Now unto him who's able and exceedingly above all we ask or we think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church in Christ through Christ Jesus throughout all ages unto all men. This message is for everybody that we come into. Let the praise team come. See, God entrusted us to, by faith, believing and receiving this gift of life. I want you to hear this and know that it's not just about getting to heaven, and that's great. This life is temporary. See, God gave us His Son that we can receive eternal life. Life without end. But it comes through His Son. But I want you to know that He came not just bearing the gift of His Son, but His Spirit that would be in your life. These gifts that would unravel within you, that you would ultimately release who He is in the earth through your life. That you would be an avenue of who He is, just like a son and daughter, that you would represent Him on the earth, carrying His image and likeness to all those around. That you wouldn't just be a one-time gift, but you will be a continual gift giver to everybody around you. That your life would be a gift that wouldn't stop giving, that wouldn't stop. Love that would never end. That you would be able to release peace into people's lives. See, He gave you this gift for something even greater. That you can walk in fullness. That you can walk in power. See, Jesus Christ, when He's at the cross, as everybody gets their communion ready, I just, and then we'll stand, but just, Riss, I want you to get it ready. If anybody needs any, we have them here. I'm going to share this story with you. I've read this story every Christmas. Maybe not to you, but to myself. I just would like you to hear this. This was a message that was spoken by, I don't know if you remember Paul Harvey, but he would say this every year at Christmas Eve. The Christmas story. The God born a man in a manger, and all that escapes some moderns, mostly, I think, because they seek complex answers to a question. And to this one is so utterly simple. Of the gospel. So for cynics and skeptics and the unconvinced, I submit a moderable parable. Now the man who I'm going to introduce you to is not a Scrooge. He was a decent man, mostly a good man. He was generous to his family, upright in his dealings with other men, but he just didn't believe all that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense. And he was, to be honest, he didn't want to pretend in front of others. He just couldn't swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. I'm truly sorry to distress you, he told his wife, but I'm not going to you with the church this Christmas Eve. He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay at home, but that he would wait up for them as they went to the service. And shortly after the family drove away, snow began to fall. And he went to the window to watch the flurries getting heavier and heavier, and then went back to the fireside chair and he began to read his newspaper. And minutes later, he heard a startling thudding sound, then another, sort of a thump or a thud. At first, he thought someone was throwing snowballs against his living room window, but he went to the front door to investigate and found a flock of birds huddled miserably in the snow. They'd been caught in the storm and desperate to search for shelter. Had tried to fly away, but they kept flying into the window. And when he couldn't let the poor creatures lie there freezing, so he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony that would provide a warm shelter that he could direct the birds to. Quickly, he put on his coat and his galoshes. He tramped through the deepening snow to the barn. And he opened the doors wide and he turned on the light. But the birds didn't come in. He figured food would entice them. So he hurried back to the house and fetched breadcrumbs, sprinkled them on the ground and made a yellow little pathway for them to see. As he opened up the doors of the stable, but in dismay, the birds ignored the breadcrumbs. They continued to flap around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He tried shooing them into the barn, walking around them, waving his arms. Instead, he scattered them in every direction except for the warm, lighted barn. And then he realized they were afraid of him. To them, he reasoned, I am a strange and terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me. That I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Because any move that he made intended to frighten them, confuse them. They just would fly away. They would not be led or shooed because of their fear of him. If only I could be a bird, he thought to himself, and mingle with them and speak their language. Then I could tell them, don't be afraid. Then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn, to the safe place. But I would have to be one of them to go, that they could see, that they could hear, and they could understand me. And at that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sounds reached his ears, and he listened to the sound of the wind blowing. And there he began to hear the sounds, glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees as he cried out to God and says, I understand. This was for me. This is why you came. Would you stand to your feet? This is not just a story, but this is God desiring to embed his life within yours by faith believing. But I want you to know that it's empowering us. And the reason this is how it empowers us is through this. Through communion. Can you prepare mine? As we take this communion, this is what causes us to have hope. It's what Jesus did for us at the cross. 1 Corinthians 11. It says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body. Do this, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You may receive the communion. This is his body. This represents something more than just a piece of bread. Can you see the big picture? It's to remember what he did and how he did it, that it broke anything that was on you from things in the past by his blood, by his stripes. By his stripes, I'm healed. He took what I had coming, and I took what he had. Love, joy, peace, righteousness, eternal life. And the Bible says that in the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said this, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. This represents the precious blood of Jesus Christ as you partake of it right now. This reminds us that we've been redeemed. You've been set free. There's no more legal right to you as you receive Christ. His blood washed away all sin, all what you had coming. The power of his blood has redeemed you. It has qualified you for what you did not deserve. He's made a place for you. He's made a place for you. Not just in heaven, but right now. Don't move. Don't go without it. Don't go any farther without knowing him as your Savior in your life. I'll pray with anybody after that desires to receive him. But right now, you can just say that prayer. Father God, Lord, I receive you in my life as my Savior. I take hold of it. The Bible says if you confess your faults, you'll be saved. He'll forgive you. You'll be forgiven. This is a Savior. Now, if you get your candles ready, I just want us to take hold of this song and just remind yourself of the moment of that night that God revealed his love for you. as we stop and look at this, I want you to understand something, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we would be the light to the world. There's so much darkness out there. I want you to know that God is the answer. Jesus, his Son, gave us a purpose to be the light of the world. It's dark, but I want you to know that there's life within you. Shine. Release image and likeness of God in the midst of darkness. I pray a blessing upon each and every one of you this new year. I pray that you take hold of the word to behold him. There's nothing greater than your God. There's nothing that can overcome you that's greater than the love that he has for you. That by faith we believe. Walk with God. Know him. Let him reveal himself to you It's the greatest adventure that you'll ever have as you walk with God and experience the wonders of His majesty. And you'll be able to declare with all your heart that you are and highly favored. I just want to say this one last time for this new year. As God's knocking, open up. Let Him in. God bless you, Facebook. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'll see you in 2021.
Wait, you're not done yet.
We got the honor tonight to present to you a gift from the congregation to help make your Christmas a little bit better. But you know what? I was thinking about what to say, and how many sports fans do we have out there? Boy, well, guess what? Everybody that I've ever watched over the years has had an off game, an off night. But you know what? They bring it every week. They're full-fledged, 100% in, and they have so much love and joy and peace about them. And we just want to thank you.